Hey, welcome to the Innovation Mindset Podcast, powered by the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship. I am Mark McNeese, your host. And today in studio, we have the winner of the Innovation Challenge, Growler Country Most Scalable Business, Chris Surreal, who is CEO and founder of Aqua Insights. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How are you?
So how was the competition?
Man, so much fun. Learned a lot. It's a great experience, man. It's my first time really putting my business out there like that in front of like a judge and stuff, or a set of judges and whatnot. With my styling business I had before, I just went out and did it. It's the first time I actually sat in front of a group of people and tried to talk about my business and why it makes sense.
Nice. So you did a fantastic job. I had the opportunity to be there and be a judge, and right. You did a terrific time or a terrific job. So tell us a little bit about your business and kind of the inception of the idea and how you got it up and going.
For sure. Aqua Insights, sentiment analysis powered brand strategy software, started off as just something to help me when I was a menswear stylist understand what was trending in the like social media or whatever the case might be. I used Reddit at the time. So I would just scrape subreddits to understand basically, again, what was trending. I would manually go in there, read the comments, and that's how I made recommendations to my clients of what they should be wearing, what colors they should be going with, and whatever the case might be. And then I decided to add AI into it because I was doing it manually myself. And I figured with AI, we could just read all those comments and the algorithm would then recommend a brand strategy or solution to whatever it was reading. And so, yeah, that's the inception of it. Just took my styling business and I had a professional and education background in like data science, data analysts and whatnot. And I just found a intersection between my two worlds.
No, that's super cool. Yeah. So take us through a little bit. What's your kind of ideal customer and what's your value proposition? What are you going to do for them?
Yeah, so I am looking for apparel brands who technically have a rolling 12-month market capture loss. And for them, I'm basically trying to help them understand, again, their brand strategy and get a better hold and understanding of their customer sentiment and preferences. With those preferences, they can create authentic stories, make product improvements, or even just foster brand-to-consumer connection.
Okay, and so why would a brand want to do this?
Yeah, so I believe a brand would want to have a software like Aqua Insights helping them with this because that negative rolling 12 market capture shows that there's some kind, well, signals a potential gap in customer understanding and customer preferences. And so they would get and bring in my company basically to understand what's going on there. Right now in marketing, there's not metric to read sentiment, to actually read through all the comments on social media posts. And so I would basically give them those eyes that they don't already have onto their customers' way of thinking and what they feel about the brand, like their brand perception and product quality.
Okay, so then what would be the ideal picture of success for them? What are you helping? What decisions are you helping them make tangibly to have this better brand connection?
Yeah, so I believe what Aqua Insights brings to them is, again, not only that sentiment of what's going on, but then they can use that sentiment to better their marketing efforts, get their marketing efforts to hit better with that target audience, that target consumer. Or they might even have a completely different like buyer segment than their original target audience. And if they wanted to either keep that the same or change it up, they're able to see that through the sentiment and the demographics of who's actually shopping and leaving reviews for that brand. Do we update our marketing to this demographic we didn't know we had? Or do we change it up completely so we can continue to go better after the target audience we specifically want?
Okay. So obviously there's a lot of money at stake in these things. And I guess negative brand perception can cost companies a whole lot of money and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about how you can help companies navigate maybe when something, maybe if it's just not a slow downturn, but would you call it software or would you call it a platform? Or
I'd call it a platform.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say it was a platform.
So how would your platform help brands, say, navigate a bad PB or a publicity on something?
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because this can also be used as like a emergency management software, emergency management kind of tool for them. If they have some kind of bad publicity, better understanding how to put out a message that reaches their customers in the way that their customers want to hear it, not really in the way that the brands feel like it's best for their pockets. I think that with more genuine responses to what they get, again, what their customers want, then that's when the customers, again, have that better brand loyalty and make more decisions with their pockets.
Right on. So you were a stylist.
Yeah, I was a menswear stylist in Tampa.
And how did you like get interested in AI? Like, why did you think like AI could be something that could really assist with this? And how did a stylist become a programmer?
I was a programmer first. I was a programmer, then became a stylist. I graduated with my IT degree. My first job out of undergrad was as a data scientist, a data science like accelerated development program. So I've always been in that space. Understanding data and what the power it has to businesses, really. And one of a buddy of mine made the Forbes Under 30 list, and he brought me to the Forbes Under 30 conference in Boston. He had me there as one of his VIPs. And when I got back to Tampa after that, I was like, yeah, something's got to give, right? People are doing something. I want to make more of my life than what I'm doing now. And my family was always into the whole fashion thing. My mom was a seamstress growing up. So that's how, you know, we had food on the table. I saw clients come in and out the house all the time. Woke up to the sound of the sewing machine going, fabric everywhere. And so I always knew I wanted to be in that realm somehow, some way. But I just didn't think I could make a career out of it, because only time I saw it wasn't in the house, in my garage on the sewing machine. And if I want to get into the fashion industry, the way I found that had the least capital just to become a stylist. Just say I'm a stylist. I can probably convince somebody to pay me to do it. And so, so I became a stylist. And in that, I just figured I felt like I was just not using all of my resources by, you know, just being a stylist. How do I take this kind of career to the next level? And of course, AI is like the future. A lot of companies are investing in their AI efforts and on their data infrastructure and whatnot. So I figured, let me see what this might do for me here. And just the idea just popped up one day. Instead of me going after my clients and sitting down and listening to what they have to say about brands or about fit or about patterns, fabrics or whatnot, that data is all over the place on the internet about people leaving like custom product reviews or brand reviews, whatever the case might be. And I figured I can use that to basically say, hey, this X amount of customers for this brand think this way, outside of the normal like 4-star, 5-star reviews and that Amazon or whatever does.
No, it makes a lot of sense that there's a lot of information out there that you could capture. How's the response been from brands so far?
About my software? Yeah, so real interesting. A lot of brands think this would be something great for them. I think the main concern has been data quality. There's just so much data on the internet right now. But in my time as a stylist, when I was doing that manually, this is back in like 2019, 2020, when I was manually going through all of this data, what I realized is that I was finding training data. So I would find like the keywords instead of looking at let's say Air Jordan 1s and just searching that and the Air Jordan 1 reviews, I put Air Jordan 1s, but then it must include the word like or the word love or the love, things like that. I was finding keywords. At the same time, I was also finding like words I didn't want to include in my search. Then identify, if I found a comment that, this is exactly what I'm looking for, I'd always write it down or just keep it somewhere recorded. And with that information, then I was able to feed that into an algorithm. And the algorithm can now read comments and say, okay, how related is it to these qualifiers that, you know, that I had already put into the program and whatnot. And so once I shared that with the brands, they're a lot more comfortable with this being a platform they would potentially use. Right now, we're still like building everything out, trying to get that beta going. I have that very early prototype is super just black and white, bare bones. Mm-hmm. But once I start with that $4,000, start getting into more of the developing, get that into front of our beta testers and seeing some real progress and making some real progress.
Yeah, the just for our audience, Chris won $4,000 at the Innovation Challenge for winning the Growler Country Most Scalable Business. So, yeah, that's a good infusion of cash into your business.
Theoretically,
like, how much data do you need to scrape? How many comments do you need to really figure out, like, trends and things like that?
A lot. That's the thing, right? Because if let's say there's a product has 100 comments on it, 100 reviews, that's a very small number versus the millions of people shopping with this brand a year. So taking that into account, taking into account language, taking into account, I think, like, demographics, psychographics, how people grew up, all of that plays a part into the emotions that people have towards any given product or service that they want to use. I guess the main thing about all of this is that my whole thing is just I'm more so looking at the consumer side. Like, how do I get this consumer more confident in this brand? Strategy is all about beating the competition, really. So how do I implement my customer's very own feedback into my strategy?
What do you mean by that?
Which part?
Implementing or putting your customers in the feedback or what
their
you just said.
Yeah, putting their feedback into the strategy, using that data, that recommendation that would come from the AI.
Okay.
Putting that into my...
What would that look like?
I think that would look like I mentioned before, I think that would look like updating your brand strategy to a point where, you know, you can... The customers realize that their feedback is being heard by someone somewhere. Kind of thing. I think once you see there's a general sentiment across your customer base and then your marketing platform starts to speak to that, then it's okay. They heard us complaining about the strap on this shoe. They heard us complaining about using some celebrity that's not in a good light for this brand that I've loved or something like that.
When you think about this, is this more at the SKU level or the brand level or both?
Both. I think it could be used for both because at the SKU level, it can be a great brand perception of, I don't know, again, let's go back to shoes. Let's say, I don't know, Christian Louboutin has some nice red bottoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
This new SKU they just put out. Great brand perception, but this shoe, some reason, the sole of it is really sloppy. I don't know why it would be, just for example. And now there's plenty of reviews on this SKU. Yeah, the sole keeps popping out or whenever I'm walking for X amount of time. Then the brand, instead of getting, remember, I think in my presentation, I talked about a lot of returns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of the brand seeing a wave of returns on this one SKU, they would get the comments immediately or instantly. They'd see that there's an issue with these reviews and we got to get this going or try to rectify this as soon as possible. On the brand perception side, and in my presentation as well, I talked about like the Kanye Adidas, or we can even talk like Tiger Woods and Nike, right? Tiger Woods just left Nike Golf and that changed the brand perception of Nike Golf. Okay, what do people think of our brand now that Tiger's gone? Now that we don't have that celebrity, what can we do to update our brand perception in Nike Golf to get everyone on board and whatnot? I think it can go both ways, but I'm here to hear your game too.
Yeah, I'm always here to learn.
So. Yeah, no, we're here to talk about your company and everything, not what I think. But I do have a question though, as far as AI. So I'm sure you're familiar with Grammarly.
Yeah.
So on Grammarly, like when I'm typing something, it'll tell me how it's coming across, like it sounds confident or it sounds angry, which I never get because I'm not angry.
Right.
Different things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something that your platform does or you think, hey, people's comments overall all have this kind of sentiment?
That's natural language processing. It'll read the comment and identify the polarity, positive, negative, neutral. And then the intensity, angry, confident, sad, happy, and whatnot, for sure.
So your platform does that or is going to do that? It does do that.
Oh, it's going to, yes.
Okay.
It's going to as we continue to build it up, yes.
No, that's really cool. So through a case study, let's say that the brand is actually getting really positive reviews. Mm-hmm. Is there a consulting part of this for you, or are you just giving them the data and they're trying to interpret it? How is your, what's your business platform or model?
In the beginning parts of this business, don't plan to be a consultant yet, as I haven't personally worked in the marketing space. As a stylist in the fashion space, I've done merchandising and whatnot. I want to get them the data. Eventually, there would be a consulting piece. Like, how do you even use this data in your business and whatnot? Right. But in the beginning, it's, here's what your customers think of your brand, and use it as you make whatnot.
And I don't know a lot about this space, obviously, but it seems like it would be just so important, because brands are obviously, their brand is everything. And to me, the real value in this, and please tell me if I'm thinking about this wrong, but the real value of this, like if I was a business owner, like when I owned Red Eye or something, if I could get out ahead of something, either if people were like, wow, this is really great what they're doing, I could throw advertising dollars to get that more out there. Right. Or if people were like, their lattes are the worst or something like that, get out in front of them and go, okay, like we got to figure out how to do this. So to me, that seems... that has enormous value to a brand, because it takes forever to build a brand.
Sure.
And very quickly, we've seen many examples of companies, brands being really hurt very quickly. Exactly. Is that, when you're thinking about Aqua Insights, is that really the core value that you're bringing, or is there something else?
Yeah, the core value is that they get this data, or this information, almost instantly. When I had it as a web scraper, when I was using it myself manually, I had an ad hoc button. I just click the button, scrape this subreddit, and I get the information I needed in a second, 2 seconds. And so, yeah, getting this quick so that they can get those that same feeling that you would have with the lattes and whatnot. But yeah, that's definitely what we're going after.
It seems like, to me, like going with the niche of just clothing and SKUs and things like that. But this seems like it's infinitely scalable to any company, right? Or am I not thinking about it correctly?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's just right now as it stands, because I've been in that fashion domain,
right,
that's what I know.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
And then once we own the fashion industry, yeah, planning to take it to different industries as well. Get some SMEs from those different industries that can speak to how those customers speak, how they respond or react to certain things. But yeah, because I've been a stylist, I've worked with these consumers one-on-one, actually like literally putting clothes on them and getting their feedback. I've worked with tailors and all that jazz. So yeah, after we owned the apparel industry and the sentiment analysis and all that for the apparel industry, definitely plan to take it bigger, because I think it works for any B2C company, maybe even B2B, really. If there's
100% B2B too, I think.
Yeah, wherever people can leave a review. The hard part of this is going to be like spammers, people who just leave bad comments or AI comments. And how do you pick out the bots?
Yeah, I know that there's AI detectors and things like that. It seems like that's being developed right now. Mm-hmm. Do you envision that being like just improving, or who do you think is going to win? The bots, are they going to be able to mimic humans better, or is AI going to be able to figure out its AI trolls?
I think AI can detect AI. I don't think AI can ever be to the point of humans. I think it can get pretty close, but AI is always going to miss creativity. AI doesn't have a soul. Mm-hmm. AI doesn't have like really emotions. It may be able to tell what's going on, but without even being programmed itself, I don't think it can exude emotions and empathy and whatnot. Yeah, I don't think AI. I think the human part is always going to beat the AI, because AI needs human to create it.
This isn't about Aqua Insights, but it's about AI, since we're talking about AI and I'm interested in AI. What most excites you about the future and the trajectory of AI, and what frightens you?
What am I excited about? I think my excitement in AI is around healthcare. How do we help?
Interesting.
Yeah, how do we help people who aren't in the best shape or whatever medical conditions they have? how can we use machines to be there around the clock for them? Because I've had plenty of hospital stays. I know how exhausting it can get for the people that work there 6 days straight, 7 days straight sometimes. How can a machine be there to monitor in case something goes on while the caregivers are, we're human. We all make mistakes or get tired or whatever the case might be. So that's what I'm most excited about when it comes to AI.
And what terrifies you? What's the Terminator version of the future of AI?
Yeah, that Neuralink stuff, putting AI in the brain. That's weird, man. That's weird. I don't get it. Maybe that's why it scares me. I don't really understand it yet. I haven't done a lot of research in the space, but it creeps me out. So
okay, so the merging of technology and humanity freaks you out.
Yeah, the Will Smith iRobot joint.
I totally see that. Starting a company is super hard.
Yeah, tough.
And there's always challenges and things like that. What's been one of your greatest aha, like surprises? This is cool. I didn't really see this. And then on the flip side of that, what's been like, man, this is a grind. Like, I didn't see this coming.
I think the aha thing was I didn't have to spend that much money. When I first started in business, I think I was just throwing money at every issue I had. Let me hire someone to do this. Let me find a businessman. Let me pay this person. I was throwing money at all the issues just because I thought that was the way to do it. This is the investment I need to take. Mm-hmm. And honestly, still, if I would do it I'd do it the same way because I think I learned a lot. So that was probably my aha moment. Like, there are ways around just being ingenuous, right? Creative. Did I say that right? Ingenuity. Yeah. So ingenuity, creativity with those, you can merely make a dollar stretch, especially as a business owner, finding the right resources. And then the grind is that you just have to do it, right? Any business that you're doing, you have to do it, right? As a stylist, I had to be the one up all night putting custom wardrobe plans together. With Aqua Insights, I have to be the one up doing this kind of research on the keywords and not words, all right, or keeping up with this industry trends and whatnot. I think that's the grind, is just making sure I know my business better than anyone else does in case I get into conversations like the pitch competition, these settings like this. Of course, always open to learn, but always being able to speak to what I'm doing and what's going on in the industry so I don't look crazy.
No, that's good insight. So one question that I always like to ask is, if Chris today could go back, say, 5 years Chris 5 years ago, and you could tell yourself one thing, what would five-year-older Chris tell five-year younger Chris?
About business or about anything?
Anything, man.
I think I would have just told him to stay the course, man.
Yeah.
Stay the course.
All right.
I think everything five-year younger Chris was doing back then set me up for now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't want it any other way than what I have now. I'm really loving this position I'm in. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. So this is the most important question of the whole podcast. You as a stylist, I would like to know who is the best dressed faculty member of the Jim Moran College.
It is Dr. Mark McNeese.
Nah, come on. I know I'm pretty fly, but who?
I got you. John Breed is clean. Every time I see him, his jackets are just fresh.
Yeah, he does. So. He's got that new leisure suit jacket. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Performance fabric, though. It's not like old school poly.
I went on a conference with Dr. Nam, too. Dr. Nam and I presented at USOSBY. Dr. Nam is clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Nam is clean.
All right, right on. Yeah. So what's the power rankings here?
Let's see. If I had to put one or the other, I would say Dr. Nam first because I see him more often. I've seen more of his wardrobe than I have John Breed. So.
All right. Cool. All right. I have a different kind of style. I got the kind of the SoCal
Slippers, thong slippers. So
absolutely. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
again. Congratulations on killing it at the Innovation Challenge.
Yeah,
look
thanks.
Forward to what you are going to do in the future with Aqua Insights. I think it's such a needed thing, and I think it really has the opportunity to really help a lot of companies, and it's really super interesting. So congratulations on everything.
Yeah, and I appreciate you for your help always. Like I mentioned, every time I'm with you, I'm with family.
You have to help me up my wardrobe game.
Turn me up.
All right, there we go.
Hey,
thank you for tuning in to the Innovation Mindset podcast powered by the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, comment, and share. And be sure to subscribe to make sure that you don't miss future Innovation Mindset episodes. Hey, thank you so much, and we will see you next time.